Okay, good morning, and if you have your Bibles, let's return to the book of Matthew. We're in the 13th chapter. Matthew chapter 13. And we're still dealing with the parable of the sower. And so the Lord went out to sow. And, I forgot to mention, welcome back, Diana. It's nice to have you back.
Thank you.
I know I said that to you earlier, but I wanted to say it from the pulpit here, so nice to have you back. Anyway. So here in the 13th chapter of Matthew, we're dealing with the parable of the sower. Now, the sower here is the Lord. Now, the Lord goes forth into the world to sow what? To sow his seed, the word of God. Okay? Now, it falls on various types of ground, and I'm going to kind of briefly illustrate what I preached last week and then probably the 9 weeks prior to that so we don't go back to square one again. But the ground that it falls on is of various types. Now, through these various types of grounds, we have believers in Jesus Christ, or plants, that spring forth. Now, the characteristics of the ground show forth the characteristics in type of the believer in Jesus Christ. Okay, so we have the stony ground, or the rocky ground. We have the ground that's choked by thorns, or you know, the foliage above, a briar, as you will, or as it were, if you will, that's what I meant to say, excuse me. And then you have the three different types of good ground, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And so as the seed falls on those grounds and grows and turns into a plant, where you have life, you have a believer in Jesus Christ in type. Okay? Now, I'm going to read our Lord's interpretation of the parable that he gives them, because they question him, why do you speak to us in parables? And so we'll back up a little bit and read his explanation of the parables here again first. So he says in verse 13, let's back all the way up to verse 10. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Okay, or these parables are mysteries. And yeah, they're mysterious. So as a newborn believer, or very early in my salvation, I would hear a lot of these things, and I wasn't spiritually grown up enough in the Word of God. And by the way, as we studied in the morning Sunday school service, if we are being spiritual, we are in the Word of God. Okay? So we are performing a spiritual good work right now. Okay? Spirituality is not an outward show. That's what man tries to discover, tease out of people. I kind of explained it this morning based upon the Pentecostal preaching method. You know, I call them springboard pastors. They'll take one portion of Scripture, typically out of the Old Testament, where you have some grandiose portion of Scripture where it says, God is almighty, amen, hallelujah, or something like that. Okay? And I'm not making fun of God by saying that. God is almighty, amen, and hallelujah. Okay? But they'll use those verses to get up there and start really working the crowd up emotionally based upon a single verse or a couple verses. And they'll put their Bible down, they'll go out and run around and try to get everybody worked up into an emotional tizzy until their arms are in the air and they're screaming hallelujah and amen and that kind of thing. And they say, when that occurs, that's when we have salvation. Okay? By some outward show of acceptance of whatever the guy's saying. Now, as I said this morning, this is something we all have to understand. I know I'm repeating this for those that heard in the first service, but it bears repeating. If I say, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and nobody's heard that before, what does that mean? Anything, everything, and nothing. Okay? If I say, follow Jesus, what does that mean? Anything, everything, and nothing. If I say, allow Jesus into your heart, what does that mean? Okay? If I say, God is great, God is good, God's going to fix your life, what does any of that mean in and of themselves? Nothing. And I'm going to say it this way. Unless you're given the definition of those things clearly explained, that's why I love expositional preaching, because you can't skip over it, then you don't, those words mean nothing and there's no salvation in them, okay? Because the person can just interpret it any way they want to. But the pastor tries to get a lot of pastors, try to get an emotional response out of people, and they say, when we say God is great, to God be the glory, and they're lifting up their arms and say hallelujah, that man has trusted Christ as their Savior, and if there was 50 other of them that did the same thing, we won 50 souls today. That's Pentecostal doctrine. That's also preached in a lot of different other type of religious services all over the world, that kind of thing. Okay, there's likely no saved souls there that day. Faith comes how? By hearing. I'm hearing by what? The word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How do we know the words that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? We have to study the scriptures, folks. Okay? So that a fool or a child would not err therein. All right? So we diligently give you the word of God that you might have an understanding of what it means to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because if we don't understand, we're not going to do it. Okay? And, you know, that kind of means that any old Joe Blow that's got a bit of a personality to him can become a pastor, you know. God has chosen the foolishness. Basically, God has chosen what the world says to be the foolish men to be his ministers, you know. I'm not the most polished guy. Most pastors out there are not the most polished personalities. You know, I tend to be a little bit hard to get along with because I'm kind of honest with people and I say what's on my mind. But is that not required from a minister? I mean, if I was afraid of your faces, like I've been out here preaching before and I've had people, not necessarily you regulars, but I've had people that have come that have looked at me like this the whole time. And they, you don't see it, but I see them staring back at me and then they whisper to their partner and they're like, yeah. You know, that's the spirit of the devil in the church, you know. And if I'm afraid of their faces, oh no, I'm making that person mad. I've got to adjust my preaching a little bit so that they feel welcome. Well, if they don't agree with the word of God, who are they really arguing with? God. And the word of God either cuts to what? Salvation, or it cuts to condemnation if they say, I don't like that. Okay? That's quenching the spirit, by the way. Trying to douse the fire. God's an unquenchable fire. We read about that over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. So that's how we preach the word of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little, rightly divided, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God and have an understanding. Because the worst thing in the world for any man is to be, particularly for a believer, is to be spiritually dumb. I want you all to be very well trained in the word of God and be mature in the scriptures, so that you can understand, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Okay? And so, this is why our Lord told him these things. You know, we have a great asset in our arsenal as a believer in Jesus Christ. God himself indwells us. Okay? His spirit. Now, you may not feel the presence of his spirit. You may not have known the day that his spirit entered you to indwell you, but he promised that once he does and will indwell you through salvation, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He indwelt me the day of my salvation when I was 21. I didn't feel anything. The only thing that changed in me was I now said amen, or yes, that's true, to the fact that the Lord saved my soul and I was a sinner. Because here's what happened. His spirit, this is how Paul puts it, his spirit bore witness with my spirit that I belong to God. Okay? Now, if we break that down, how does that occur? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he made the word of God true to me by confirming to my own spirit, saying, yeah, buddy, that's true, with an undeniable conscience. And I said, okay, I'm going to make that my own. Okay? But if it was not by the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, I would not have made it my own, so that all things might be of him, to him, and through him, all right? So the bearing of the Spirit of God abides upon each and every believer in Jesus Christ, that you might know the things that are freely given unto you of God. It's a spiritual matter, and the world is spiritually dead. That's why we always say and repeat this verse constantly, the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God. It's foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because it's spiritually discerned, and the world is spiritually dead until they come to know Christ as their Savior. So our Lord kind of gets into this here a little bit, and he says, the disciples are asking him, you know, why do you speak in parables or mysteries? And they were very mysterious unto me until the Lord gave me the meanings of them over the years. And there may be things in the Word of God that you hear me preach or that you read yourself where you're like, I have no idea what that means. Let it be. Okay? Let yourself not know what that means, but keep attending to the Word of God. Keep hearing the Word of God. Because as time goes by, you're going to grow in the things of the Lord, and the Lord's going to be giving you the things that you need through His Spirit, that He knows what you need, because you don't, as you're able to bear them. And as time goes by, you will become more and more and more mature in the things of the Lord. and you'll get certain keys here and certain keys there that will unlock certain understanding in the Word of God. Okay? That's how it works. Right? It's not as though the Lord's withholding things from you because he's a tyrant or some doddering old man. He knows what you need and what you can handle when you need them and when you can handle them. Okay? Like, for instance, if I'm going to be called to preach, Paul says, through the Spirit, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, not a novice, lest being what? Lifted up in pride and fall under the condemnation of the devil. The condemnation of the devil is, I will be the Most High. So if I get up here and say, you know, I saved the souls of men because I'm Eric Griffin the Mighty, you know, or whatever, or I've got my power tie on because I'm, you know, whatever it may be, then I'm outside of the bounds of spiritual truth or Scripture. Okay? I'm off the reservation, so to speak, spiritually speaking. I need to understand that all things occur of the Lord, and by the foolishness of preaching, God has chosen to save men. And so the Word of God may go forth from this pulpit. I may understand what I'm preaching, but I have no power to change a single heart to the Lord. That's God's job. Okay? When I leave that job to Him, then my perspective of myself is, I'm just a servant. You know, I'm just a lowly advocate for the Lord. That's all that I am. You know, I might know a thing or two about the Scriptures. Pastor Andre may have known a thing or two about the Scriptures. But like Paul says about him and Apollos, what are we but just ministers of the truth? That's all that we are. And so we minister, and so the truth goes forth. But the power of salvation lies in the Lord and the Lord alone. So he says here, who hath ears? This is verse 9. Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, those that are believers in Jesus Christ, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, that is, whosoever has made Jesus Christ their own, okay, saved individuals, saved souls, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, the unsaved of the world, to him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now, what does the unsaved world have? A way which seemeth right. Their own goodness. And our Lord said about them, like he said about the Pharisees, for they have their reward. Okay? Now, if they have their reward, and our reward is in heaven, where is their reward? Only upon this earth. They have a carnal reward because they have not entered into the truth concerning Jesus Christ in his person and in his work unto salvation. Okay? If they're not saved, they're going to hell. So they're living out their reward now, and they'll be cast into hell at the great white throne judgment. Okay? God will say to them, okay, you want to give me your works? Give me your works. And they'll say, oh, I've done this, I've done that. I've worn this fancy white garment my whole life, and men call me rabbi, rabbi. I'm serving you, oh great God. But in reality, they've been serving themselves the entire time through extortion and all kinds of things. And God will say, and the good works will be counted. There'll be some good works in there. You know, all sinful men are not sinful all the time. You know, but if we've committed one sin, what does the Scripture say? We're guilty of all of it. Okay? So there's not a single thing we can do in our life to possibly justify ourselves. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. No, not one. Or not even one. And so it'll be compared to the righteousness of Jesus Christ, their works. And they'll be found short, and God will say, depart from me, ye that work the iniquity, that which came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that we can make ourselves fit for God's presence by the life that we've lived. Depart from me, ye that work the iniquity, for I never knew you. Or you don't belong to me. You belong to yourself through the evil one that cast you into his work through Adam in the tree, okay? And they'll be cast into hell because there'll be no place found for them, all right? See, God has it so that no man would enter into hell. So much so that he did not prepare a place for fallen man. He prepared a place for the devil and his fallen angels, consequently, but not for man. So since there's no place found for fallen or unredeemed man, those who will not enter into Christ as their Savior, they must, by necessity, be cast into hell, because God cannot abide in the presence of that which is contrary to himself. You know, that's a dumb argument. Oh, why didn't God let everybody into heaven if he's such a gracious God? That's a stupid argument. If God allowed all that is sin into heaven, well, what would heaven be like? They'd be trying to assassinate him. So that they can rule over God, you know. Is that not what the devil was trying to do through Herod? We'll kill all the two-year-olds in the land. Trying to take care of that usurper, the Lord Jesus Christ, the old bastard usurper, Jesus Christ. They didn't know who the hell he was. Lost man, you know. Christ is king. You know, we're going to enter into his kingdom because of redemption through his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from how much sin? All of it. It's all been done. So why is the Christian life so difficult for the world? Oh, so hard. My way's got to be easier. You know, yet we look at the lives of men and it's pathetic, you know. I'm not making fun of people. That's why people don't like me very much. I'll tell you how it is, you know. Somebody's got to. So if you want to hear the word of God, I'm going to give it to you straight. Straight dope, so to speak. By the way, when I say straight dope, that's a shooting term. That's not straight drugs, okay? I've been accused of that before. When you figure out the ballistics of a certain ammunition in your particular rifle and how it functions downrange, then you fill out what's called a dope card. Now, typically, the soldier or GI memorizes that, so he knows what that particular ammunition does in particular circumstances. Then they start learning high angle and low angle shooting and all that kind of stuff, if they're a marksman. Like a designated marksman or whatever. But they'll write it down on a little card just in case they're out in the field and they forget it because, you know, everybody says that Marines eat crayons, you know. You know, it's dumb. I'm making fun, guys, and I'm just teasing, okay? I love the Marine Corps. And I love all branches of the military equally. They would give you my freedom. But it's, you know, people got to make jokes sometimes. I wasn't getting any smiles from the Marines back here. But they fill out a dope card so that in case you're, you know, need to memorize how your rifle functions, you got it written down, you know. So it makes perfect sense. So that's what it means by straight dope, okay? So it's not, I've had people say, oh, what are you talking about drugs for when you say straight dope? I'm not talking about illegal substances here, okay? So, but I'm going to give you the straight dope from the Word of God. I'm going to be a straight shooter. That's what I'm saying when I say that. So, it says here, in chapter 13, verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, that is, believers in Jesus Christ, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them, that is, the unbelieving world at large, it is not given. For whosoever hath, that is, believers in Jesus Christ, to him it shall be given. So what are we given? Through the preaching of the Word of God, we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ to know the things that are freely given to us of God. Okay? And he shall have more abundance. Now, does that mean we shall have more carnal or material abundance? You know, some believers have, and some believers are very poor. Solomon was a believer in Jesus Christ, and he was given everything that's in the world, and then he wrote Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, all is what? All is vanity. Basically, he was saying was, give me all the gold in the world, and what's it worth if I don't have salvation? You know, nothing. In the latter days, that is in the tribulation period, see, I've got a feeling that the things that we're seeing right now where men are trying to hedge their wealth by purchasing gold, okay? So the purchase of gold has been more prevalent now than it ever has been before. The gold prices continue to climb. I own a little bit of gold. I don't own a lot, just a little bit, just because, you know, why not? But nevertheless, during the Great Tribulation period, they're going to be casting their gold into the streets because it's going to be dead weight. Why? Because I think we're going to have a digital currency, and that digital currency is going to be controlled by the mark of the beast, which is going to be your government profile of some sort, okay? Through that digital currency, the government's going to be able to control your capacity to buy or sell, or at least that's how it's looking, all right? So those that don't accept the mark of the beast won't be able to buy or sell, and through a government-issued digital currency, we can kind of see that sort of concept coming into fruition, okay? So, it says here, for whosoever hath, that is, believers in Jesus Christ, to him it shall be given, but he shall have more abundance. This is verse 12. But whosoever hath not, the unsaved, of course he's ministering to unsaved Jews, but this goes for any unsaved man, from him it shall be taken away. that he seems to have. That's the way it's really written in the Greek. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Why? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. It says Esaias, if you have a King James, and that's a transliteration from Isaiah. We're referencing Isaiah chapter 6 here, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. I know exactly what that is like. I was in this church for a long time before I was saved. The same word of God went forth through Pastor Andre's mouth, his entire ministry, and I heard it and I saw it, and I didn't know what the heck he was talking about. I still thought it was all about me. Okay? So he says here, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. Now, where does man look? He looks on the outward, but God looks at where? On the heart. If your heart's turned to the Lord through salvation, then you belong to the Lord and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, when our Lord is talking about healing them, what is the malady, so to speak? The curse of sin. Adam's sin and then all the consequential sins that come upon us because of our sin nature. Our Lord is the great physician. He heals us from our sins in Adam by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from how much sin? All of it, past, present, and future. I say past, present, and future on purpose because a lot of people have the idea that your future sins are yet your responsibility. Okay? How can that be with an omniscient God? God sees things from all time forward past, if you want a perspective of God. He abides in the present, but he knows all things from all time forward past until the last time. Sounds weird, doesn't it? But it's true. Okay? Sometimes I see puzzled eyes. Trust me, it was puzzling to me once too. But if you think about it, that's his perspective. Because we will have an end of time when we are thrust into eternity with the Lord. What is time to the eternal? Time is non-existent in the eternal. Time was given for the purpose of the coming of the Son of God at point in time. That's why the construct of time was laid upon us, and that's why we abide within it. So God knew all things from all time, and so therefore the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin from all time. Okay? That's what we're talking about when we speak of all sins. So he says, for verily I say unto you, and whenever verily was said, that means of a truth, verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them. This has to do with what I was telling you about earlier. Our Lord doesn't always give everything that's within his word to every man that comes into the world. Sometimes things are reserved for a certain age. Sometimes things are reserved for a certain point in your life where you can handle it. And so the Spirit of God dictates the knowledge of the word of God in men. Okay? And so some things are given that came about in this modern later age, in the later times where we're coming up to the second coming of Christ, that couldn't be understood or was hard to be understood by the Old Testament saints, because they had not yet seen the sacrifice of Christ, yet they believed in it through the Jewish sacrificial system and the offerings at the altar of sacrifice prior to that, prior to the tabernacle in the wilderness. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So he's going to interpret here. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which is received the seed by the wayside. So the devil causes the word of God not to germinate in a man's soul, and he doesn't accept it to salvation. But he that received the seed under the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and with anon, or with joy, reverence and joy, receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he is by and by offended. Okay, that's like the shallow-rooted plant. The sun beats down, the conditions are hard, it's kind of, you know. So you know you got a shallow-rooted plant if you have that plant that's kind of drooping and the plant next to it's still standing up straight because it's got deep roots to get down to the water. Okay? What do believers in Jesus Christ abide by? The water of the Word. Out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water, speaking of the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Okay? So we're talking about shallow ground believers here. They're not rooted down in the Word of God, so when somebody says, yeah, but this, and yeah, but that, they have no defense. And they're offended, or afraid, or they flee, so to speak. And sometimes they won't come back to church. Sometimes they'll abide away for a while. They'll come back, they'll grow, and they'll get out of that state. Because you got to remember about rocky or stony grounds, those stones can be dug up. It requires a little work in your life. And we got the one that has the briar above them next, and those briars can be trimmed back. Okay, so you can allow the Word of God to shine through. So in verse 22, he says, he also that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Why are our riches, or what we perceive to be our riches, deceitful? Because they can't purchase anything in the kingdom of God. What purchased us, if you want to put it simply, what has purchased us a ticket into the kingdom of God? The blood of Jesus Christ and faith in the fact that he died for us on the cross of Calvary. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay? So our heart and mind have been turned to the Lord. We've been reconciled, okay, unto God and apart from the world. And so can rich men enter into the kingdom of God by their riches? No. The scripture says it's harder for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. Have rich men entered into heaven? Yeah, we see a lot of them in scripture, okay? But it's pretty rare because they want to trust in their riches. And I've seen wealthy people on their deathbeds literally screaming at doctors and nurses saying, get me whatever it takes, I'll buy it, I've got money, you know? And they said, well, there's nothing we can do about this. We have to see what happens. And they get angry and they start cursing God and that kind of thing, you know. The world knows that God exists. When that old deathbed comes around, everybody, I promise you, everybody starts thinking about him a little bit, you know. And if you're not in Christ, then the end ain't going to be good. All right. So, all the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Yet he's a believer in Jesus Christ. But he's out gallivanting around doing this, that, and the other thing. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. So he takes it in, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, what fruit do we want to bear from? What tree, let's put it that way, do we want to bear from? The tree of life. Those pertaining to salvation in Jesus Christ and our relationship with the Lord, who we are, who he is, what his plan is for us, what the end of the age looks like, what we're to do in life, where are we to cast our cares when we have troubles in life, those kind of things. We cast them upon the Lord. All these things are bearing fruit from the tree of life. Okay? And so we also can bear fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is going to be burned up. So, he says in verse 24, another parable put he forth into them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed into his field. Okay? So the word of God was sown out into the world. But while men slept, his enemy, now, who's the enemy of the Lord? The counter gospel, the opposing gospel, which is no gospel at all, the devil, and his work through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he sowed tares amongst the wheat. This is spurious or bastard wheat. Now, I still have a picture of it up here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Hey, you can pass that around. Got some water on it. That's a picture of a wheat field outside of Lapine. And I noticed as we were driving by, we actually parked somewhere to go check out an outfit that we were going to check out. And I saw that tare sticking straight up in the wheat field that was heavy with grain. And bowed over. When a wheat plant is full of grain or seeds, it'll bow right on over. Now, this is a bit metaphorical, you know. As a believer in Jesus Christ, if we are the wheat, who's our sovereign? The Lord is. He's our Savior. Okay? Now, it's just like leaven in the lump. What does a leaven cause the lump to do? Gets puffed up in themselves. All about me, 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 me. Self-righteousness. Okay? Self-rule. All right? I am my own God. Now, when you think those things, you're puffed up or you're standing straight up. Look at me, Lord. Look how wonderful I am. Accept me based upon my own moral righteousness, because I know that's what you want. That's what you've been asking me through your word. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They can't understand it. God's not asking for good deeds. The failures before the law were supposed to lead them to Christ, that they may offer their bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. Why is it reasonable? Because I'm a sinner undone, can't do it myself. So I cast myself before the Lord and say, Lord, do with me what you will. What is his will for me? I died for you on the cross of Calvary, and my blood has cleansed you from all sin. You are accepted in the beloved. Welcome to my kingdom, my dear son. Okay? So that tear, which is the false gospel sown into the world through the evil tree, shows men that they can stand straight up and approach God based upon their own merit. Try doing that with the king. You're going to get a king's guard thrusting his sword through your side if you do that, if you go in without entrance and proper approval from the king. Okay? We have proper approval for entrance into the kingdom of God, that is, to the throne of grace, anytime we want to, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, makes us acceptable. Okay? Matter of fact. And so he says here, while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat. Now, at what point in time, because our Lord Jesus Christ, or God himself, did not plant the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I've got to quit here soon. We ran a little bit late in commentary prior to the service. I'll keep an eye on the clock. Do you mind if we stay 10 minutes? Okay, we're going to do it. All right. How do you suppose that tree was planted in the garden? Well, the scripture says an enemy hath done this. Okay? Now, at what point in time did men sleep? Well, it's the woman's fault, really, because Adam was put to sleep and the rib was taken from his side, which was used to make Eve, you know, woman, okay, from man, all right? And so while men slept, an enemy came in and sowed tares or spurious bastard wheat amongst the good wheat, all right? And so we have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that came up. Adam ate of it. In Adam all die, so that in Christ all might be made alive. That is, if God has the right and the justice to say that we died in Adam, he has the right and the justice, he's just to declare us righteous in Christ. So you better be darn thankful that God counts you to be guilty of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil as if you were there eating of it yourself. Okay, the federal headship of God stands. So he says here, verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto them, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed into thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. And so in this church age, what are we going to have within the church? We're going to have good wheat, or believers in Jesus Christ, and we're going to have the tare wheat, which is false believers in Jesus Christ. How shall you know them? You shall know them by their fruits, if they abide in the truth of the Word of God. And you want to know how this happens? I was really confused about this for a long time, until the Lord made it known unto me. When you're communing with someone around the truth of the Word of God, and you're in the Word of God, and they're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and you're talking about the Word of God, what kind of spirit is in both of you? Spirit of God. And His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are both believing the same thing. And so there's going to be, within that conversation, yea and amen, even if there's not a full understanding of what's being said. Okay? There may be some question marks because of the need for growth, but there's not going to be a denial. But if you're talking to someone who says they're a believer, and there's a lot of buts, But you've got evidence that they're not in alignment with the truth of the Word of God when the Word of God goes forth. So they may not be spiritually alive. Okay? It can be hard to tell sometimes. But this is kind of what I'm talking about when I was mentioning in the last service, listening to that spiritual voice that's within us. If it walks like a duck, Occam's razor, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, what is it likely? It's likely a duck. If it walks like the world and talks like the world, what is it likely? It's likely of the world. Now, can a believer in Jesus Christ be of the world? Yeah, you can be stony ground, or you can be the briar ground, the choked ground, believer in Jesus Christ, and that more of the world can be in you than the Word of God. But when you get that guy around the Word of God, he's going to say yay and amen. You know, I've got people in my family that are that way. You know, it just is what it is. And so if we rip everything up, then what do? You uproot the good from the bad with the bad also, and the good won't grow. This is why we give forth the truth of the Word of God, rightly divided, that we've got more wheat in the church than tares, because if we have tares, and we're going to deal with this over in Revelation next week, then the tares can rise up against the wheat, and they can change the guard in the pulpit so that they can get somebody in there preaching what they want to hear, which is always, oh, we can be like God by what we do. We're good enough. All right. With that, let's close. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We just ask that you keep this little congregation sound and help us to support our missionaries soundly, and that they might be sound as well, that the Word of God might go forth in truth in the world, and there's no contamination from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.